Merry Christmas out there. We're back in the studio, and we have four people. Oh, really, three. Tara and me, and then three new ones. Kind of new, huh?
Five people.
I don't know. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, and I'm Hosanna. I'm one of the students at Grace University.
I'm Jackie Towns, and I'm visiting Grace this week.
And my name is Hannah, and I'm also a student at Grace.
The sweet little peeps of Tara.
Jackie is a doctoral student of Dallas Theological Seminary, and so she's in visiting to see the orality class that I have.
Oh, that's great.
The orality. She travels, ministers overseas.
I teach the gospel. I teach God's story through the art of biblical storytelling, and that's actually what my dissertation is on. And we met at, Tara and I met at an orality conference in Colorado.
Oh.
And she told me about this class, and it's, oh my goodness, I gotta come. I wanna watch this done. Yeah. And so.
Yeah, we did that when Pauline was here for our Matthew study, you know, studying the Bible with, you know, retelling it like a story.
It's amazing. And
it is amazing. It is. Well, we are in James 5, 1 through 6, and last week we were talking about how we use our resources such as time, money, treasures, our home. And now we're going to go on and say, where should we be putting our focus?
Yeah. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, I can't wait until we get on to the part where he's talking about patience and endurance. I love the Word of God, but this is so convicting. One last time, we're going to read. Sandy, I would like for you, if you would do the James 5, 1 through 6 for us.
Sure. It says, now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you.
You know, thinking through it, the condemnation he gives in verse 5, he says that you are trying to satisfy your evil desires, your every desire, what you want, kind of like Achan in the Old Testament. He wanted what he wanted, so he took, and then him and his entire family died, including the cattle, because of it. Like, it just, we need to be thinking through what are our desires, and so we've been discussing the fact that we have a spiritual poverty, and we need to take that and get it right before God. We need to fill ourselves up with righteousness. We need to fill ourselves up with the unfailing love, and that when we do that, that's going to help us to have a proper perspective of God and have where we're in awe of Him, allowing Him to be the one at work in us. That's then what enables us to use our resources where we're blessing others. Mm-hmm. And that's where the shift of the desire in us, the hunger that we have within us changes, the hunger and thirst for actual righteousness. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was in my young 20s, I was sitting in a Bible study, and Beth Moore just said, you don't have it because you've not asked for it. And if you ask God for that which is of God, God will not say no. And that's supported in James, where he says, if you draw near to me, you will draw near to God. And so I can remember thinking, well, I want righteousness. I want right desires. And so if I'm willing to position myself and pray that I have His right desires, He will make that change occur in me, because that's a God-honoring request. It's one that gives God glory. And so we're going to finish up this segment of looking at, last time we read 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10, we finished up the session, and we were looking at godliness and contentment. That's where great gain comes. It's in that hungering and thirsting for His righteousness and His unfailing love to be evident in us is what enables us to pour out. But let's also look at 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, and let's see what he gives us as a reminder that we should have in our lives.
It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Mm. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life.
Mm. So beautiful. I love it. This, I needed this. I wanted hope. I needed the hope.
Yep.
The first three kind of like, ah. And hope stirs up that satisfaction and that contentment that is willing to move forward and hunger and thirst for that righteousness. There's something powerful that happens with hope. Without hope, we die. Mm-hmm. We just die. The despair happens in a people group. I'm thinking of when we flooded and the people that did not have hope, when their food, their clothing, and their gold and silver, you know, whatever their wealth was destroyed because they didn't have hope, they were devastated. Whereas mm-hmm. our family, Greg and I, as we were going through this process, we're like, okay, God, we just started asking him. Like, it was devastating to lose everything, but we had each other. And we were like, okay, what do we need to do to build the kingdom? And we started asking him, who needs the Lord? The question is like, who needs salvation and who needs comfort? And using those to help us to figure out how to lay up. I want us to look at this passage she just read, and let's see what the warnings are that he gives, and then what he gives that helps them to grow in their righteousness. So what are some of the warnings? He tells them.
He says not to be haughty.
I like that word. Yeah, I wrote that
haughty.
Down.
Haughty. And whose translation used arrogant?
Not mine.
Mine has arrogant. Don't be arrogant.
Mine's proud.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So haughty, proud, arrogant, kind of the
conceited.
Same.
Conceited.
Conceited. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. This is good. Mm-hmm. So each of those actually have a different definition in our culture. Mm-hmm. So it takes all four really to get the meaning, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So don't be arrogant, haughty, proud, conceited. Okay. What's another one he says not to do?
To fix your hope on the uncertainty riches. Ooh. Instead of on God.
Okay. So not to put our hope in our wealth, our mm-hmm. riches, our resources. That's kind of tough. And for right now, for those of you that don't know, Grace University had made the announcement that we're closing May 2018, and was so convicted on so many levels leading into all of that aspect that I realized I had put a lot of my hope in Grace. Mm. And had to have where God dealt with that in me so that my hope was not in a ministry, a university, a position, a relationship, the building the kingdom. And even though what we're doing is very God-honoring, it's very easy for us to just in a second have our hope misplaced. And we have to guard against where our hope is placed, and it's in Jesus. And so having our hope in God. So then he gives a series of things that he does want us to do. So Jackie said the first one is to put our hope in God. What are some other things he says that we should do?
Use your money for good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Be generous.
Be generous. Okay.
Yeah, along with that, like ready to share.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I put down ready to do good, be rich in good deeds, because there's a difference between, I think, you know, the serving others. So one is with maybe with resources, one is maybe just like just conversation kind of thing. The generosity and the willingness to share. So let's look at that. So don't be arrogant, don't be conceited, don't be haughty, don't be proud. That's one. Don't put your hope in wealth. But these are the things that will build us up, to put our hope in God, to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, and to be willing to share. So when our resources we have, there's many things we could do, but I'm just I can't even talk. it's very easy with what we have happening at Grace for us to focus so inwardly. Like to get our mind so on what we're going through, and because we're going through it and the mess of it, that we can forget the importance that we should be hoping in God, doing good, being good deeds, being generous and stuff. And so my two RAs are hearing this ahead of time. I'm going in for our RA team, and I'm going to have us do a service. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want it to be on the radio before that happens. But we're going to actually do a ministry today in our team to the women at the Open Door Mission. Mm. We're going to serve outside ourselves, outside our school, outside our need, outside of us, so that we're reminded that it's not about us. Mm-hmm. It's about loving well and serving well and being kingdom-minded, because it's so easy for us to get, when we are caught in, let's say we are in the poverty of wealth, not the poverty of spirit. Let's say our spiritual condition is good. We are seeking God, but we are struggling financially. We're struggling mentally. We're struggling emotionally. Something's happened that's caused us to struggle. What is the best way to get ourselves back on track? Right here. Mm-hmm. Put your hope in God. Mm-hmm. Do good. Use what you have to do good for others. Be generous. And generosity in this is not talking generosity of just our finances. It's the generosity of our words, our generosity of mercy, of forgiveness, of time, of talent, in any aspect that we can be a generous person using that. And then be a person who's willing to share. Say, you know, whatever that is that you're sharing, and it can be your time and your talent in many ways, not just your financial.
Well, I love the way he finishes that section off too, because when we do all the things you're talking about, we're actually storing up treasure, mm-hmm. of a good foundation for the future, mm-hmm. so we can take hold of what is life, mm-hmm. indeed. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's true life. Mm-hmm. Doing all the things that you're, mm-hmm. talking about right there.
Right. It's the eternal mindset. It's the kingdom mindset. Yes. It's the treasures of heaven. And that's essentially what he's pointing to, is that you want to have your kingdom mindedness and not just your earthly mindedness. And it's very easy for us to get caught up in the temporal and not have our minds in the eternal. And so retraining our thoughts, not an easy thing, is it? Mm-hmm. No. With that, I love how Jackie summed it up. It's the treasure of heaven. And when we have the treasure of heaven in us, it's that building of that firm foundation. That's what enables us to feel what Hosanna was talking about earlier, so that we feel stable. She had caught into that. And it helps us to get our mind on the eternal life. Well, there were some things that I wanted to share about this, because he references the Lord of Heaven's armies. And depending on your translation, it may say the Lord of the Sabaoth. It's a different Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath as in like the Sabbath of day. It's the Sabbath of Sabaoth. It's like A-O-T-H. Mm-hmm. It's a different word. And it's actually referring to God as the God of the warrior. He's our warrior God. And he's saying that the warrior God sees. And he's not going to be silent. God sees all things, and he will not remain silent. And so he's it's literally wanting them to understand the possibility of what God can do, and that we think that we're getting away with something. They're getting away with not paying their wages. They're getting away with, you know, ignoring the needs of the people around them. God does not ignore, and God's not going to be complacent. There will be, as Sandy had said earlier in one of the shows, the judgment will come, and they will be held accountable for how they use their finances, how they use their resources of time, talent, treasure, home, how you built your relationships, how you used the kingdom truths that you've been given, and how we've applied them. It's crazy the things that he reveals in these. And so wanting us to remember that God is seeing what is happening. And so making sure that we're not exploiting those around us. We've looked at so many different aspects. I'm just curious, what's working in your heart because of it? Anybody? Some truths resonating?
As I think back about the four ones we've done, the one that sticks with me is satisfaction versus contentment. Hmm. And at Grace, they have the RAs choose a word, and so the one I chose was crave, and this idea of desiring God. And it's really interesting because I'm reading Surprised by Joy by C.S. Lewis right now, and it's this idea of you can't just find God sometimes. Like, you definitely want to pursue him, but it's in those moments of complete surprise when you realize him and there's this joy. And so this is the idea of finding contentment in him and being satisfied in that versus just being stagnant and complacent.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I love it how when we are in the process of learning something, God brings things in other areas that will support what he's teaching us. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Does somebody else have something that is standing out that they want to share?
It's so hard to pick one thing, to be honest. But, like, the one that immediately, even, like, the first time reading James 5 through just in verse 3 of what my translation says, that the very wealth you're counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. Mm. And that's really convicting in a way that, like, the kinds of things that I desire or the things that I build up, that it eats at you. And that's a very vivid picture. And yeah. Just the fact that, like, going back to that First Timothy and saying that, like, that storing up of good things, though, versus the things that I want for myself is true life versus that eating away of my life. Mm. And that sometimes I kind of sell God short on my resources that I feel that he's given me. Like, a lot of times I just limit it to, like, I either have money or I have time. But that's not all that he's given me. He's blessed me with so much more that I can give to be experiencing that true life and not be eaten by the things that I keep for myself.
Mm. You know, one of the gifts you give, I'm just going to say, is that you listen well. Mm-hmm. You two both are the listeners. You're both listeners, Hannah and Hosanna. I know your leadership, and I watch, and you both are always nodding and listening. And so even that is one of the treasures that we can give to people, mm-hmm. is to be able to listen,
right,
and allow people to have that place where they can just speak. And you both do that well, both of you. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Wow. Oh, 4 minutes passed fast. We have like 20 seconds. So we're so glad that you guys have been listening to Cultivating Hearts. And we're glad to get past the toughness of that passage, right?
Right.
And just pray that over the holidays, as you are, wherever you're at, that you just take the time to draw near to God and know that your hope is in him, and that in him you will find the gift of eternal life. God bless.